Little summer music, yeah. Summer breeze, that would feel good right now. All right. School's out for the summer. It's summertime. And for us here, you've obviously figured out if you're new, this means that we're headed on our opening of the summer mission crazy adventure, and it's going to be a great week. But part of what we want to do today is give a greater challenge that goes beyond just those of us who are going to Charleston to every one of us here. If you are kind of just checking Christianity out, trying to figure out what this looks like, we want you to feel welcome here and want you to understand that God's purpose for you is to see the beauty of the Jesus who calls you to follow him. But for those of us who have trusted in Christ, it's a call to, as we follow him, to live for something that is greater than ourselves, to not just get settled into a Jesus who is here for me, he is that, but to hear the call of Jesus to live my life for something greater. And summer is such a great time. I grew up in the home of educators, and now I am in a house where my wife is a teacher. I mean, we have school teachers everywhere, which means both for kids and everybody else in the house, summer was like a great time. You started looking forward to it on like September 4th, I think was the first day that people in my house have been counting the days, how many days until summer vacation, right? And then May hits, and May is just mayhem in an educator's home and in the home of, if you have kids that are in school, as they are amping up towards the end of school, the kids get a little bit crazy and a little psychotic. Most of them do need Ritalin in May. As we head towards that date, if they're in high school, they're dealing with the pressure of taking finals and all that sort of thing. And then there's that day when summer is out, school lets out for the summer. You know, everybody's singing, "Are you ready for the summer? Are you ready for the good times?" Right? Everybody's ready to go. And you hit summer and you get going, and all of our rhythms change. If you are in a family that has kids, and even if you're not, summer just brings something different. It brings barbecues, brings baseball, it brings hanging out. For me, all summer, when I was growing up as a kid, summer meant it was time for wiffle ball season. And my friends and I, we would all summer long, every day all summer, either play wiffle ball, or then when we got a little older, there's a game called fuzzball, a St. Louis game. If you grew up in St. Louis, you were a baseball kid, you knew how to play fuzzball, which was basically a corkball bat, which is the equivalent of a broom handle, and a tennis ball. And we would play from 9 o'clock in the morning until about 4 o'clock in the evening, almost every day. We would just go out and play fuzzball all day, just throw the ball, hit the ball, catch it. I mean, it was just all summer long fuzzball. But what happens is I saw this in my own life and my kids' life and my wife and my family doing youth ministry all these years, is you get in these new rhythms and everybody's like, "Woohoo, I don't have to go to school. It's great." Rhythms are different. But as we do this, sometimes we still have this mindset where we just kind of pull into ourselves and feel very comfortable. And kind of the challenge this morning is this. The challenge is that God has given us a summer that is to be enjoyed. It's one of his gifts, the beauty of the seasons, and for us, the chance to maybe have a little bit different rhythms in life. But summer is also an awesome, amazing time for us to be thinking about what does it look like for us to live out this incredible mission of God. And so I have a simple challenge for you this morning, and that is this. I want to encourage you to think of ways that you can leverage your summer for God's glory and God's mission. Just simple ways. And so this is going to be like a really, really practical message filled with really practical ideas. I would even encourage you to be listening and maybe take out a pen and a paper and jot some notes this morning, not of the outline of the sermon, but of ideas that you hear that where you go, "You know what? I could do that." And start thinking of ways that maybe you could get involved in the lives of people in the world around you, in our city, in our neighborhood, living on mission. Because as we go and we serve and we live on mission, God is going to do great things because God is a sending God. God sent his son Jesus into the world to rescue us. God sent the Holy Spirit to us to fill our hearts. And he sends us into our neighborhood, into our community. He is sending us to Charleston, but it's so much more. He sends us everywhere we go. God is sending you to that place to be a missionary, to be on mission for him. To literally live out his purpose, his glory, and to advance his kingdom wherever you go. And so we just want to share a ton of ideas this morning with you about that. One passage of scripture, one story from Jesus' life to get us going. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, page 741, 742 of the Bibles at the end of our rows. If you have an app, just find it. If you have a Bible of your own, or if you don't have one of those, grab one of our Bibles. Read along with us. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20. And what we have here is a story in the life of Jesus as he is about to send out 72 people to go to towns and to advance his kingdom, to bring the invisible kingdom of God visible, laying the groundwork for Jesus to show up in these towns is what he's doing. And there has been a shift in the story. As you study Luke, the story is like this. Luke begins with the story of Jesus' birth and his early childhood, but then it tells us that Jesus, at his baptism around 30 years of age, there was a public declaration that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, and now Jesus is living out this mission that God has sent him on. Part of that mission was that he gathered 12 men around him and he began to pour in their lives and invest in them. Meanwhile, Jesus was teaching and preaching and performing miracles everywhere he went. There's some amazing stories, some of which we will teach children this week. I'm so excited to hear us teach children about a day when a man who was a synagogue leader, he was a pastor in a Jewish church, his daughter was dying, came to Jesus and said, "Will you come heal my daughter?" And then a woman who in this throng had this blood disease for years and years and years reached up and just touched Jesus, the hem of his cloak, and immediately she was made clean and healed. Meanwhile, when Jesus stops and talks to this woman, the daughter of this synagogue leader, of this pastor, had died, and his servants came and said, "You know, Pastor, your daughter's dead." I mean, I was reading that this morning, just kind of living in that, going, wow, the weight of that. And wrestling between deep brokenness and a little bit of anger that Jesus would get tied up with something that he could have come back to. And Jesus just looks at him and goes, "Dude, just believe. Just believe." And Jesus goes to his house, and the house is already filled with people who are mourning. I mean, everybody's already showing up with food and hanging out, and there's weeping and crying. And Jesus walks into the middle and goes, "I don't know why y'all are crying. She's just asleep." And they start laughing at Jesus. The people go from crying to laughing. But he clears the house out. He takes the man and his wife, the mom and the dad, with a few of his disciples, walks in the room, grabs this sweet little girl by the hand and says, "Arise." She arises. This is Jesus. But in Luke chapter 9, something changes in the story. And Jesus, it says Jesus set his eyes on going to Jerusalem. And the reason that's important is if you understand the story, when he sets his eyes to head to Jerusalem, he knows his mission. And while healing was a part of showing this beautiful kingdom of God that's come to the world, his mission was to pay the debt for your sin and for mine, to die on the cross so that the brokenness in our lives could be repaired. And he takes this band of followers and their mission changes too. And their mission changes from come and see, which leads to follow me, and now it's go and die. That's the message. See, the message to everybody, first of all, to people who don't know Jesus, we just need to say, come and see. Come and see this man who does these things. Come and hear about this Jesus who changes our lives. Come and hear about this Jesus who makes all the difference in the world. And then we just sang a song about following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. And Jesus calls all these disciples, and his message is, follow me. And as he follows, he pours in our life. And now they're watching Jesus. They're hearing him. But eventually, Jesus sends them, and the message to them is not just go. It's literally go and die. You are now called to live for something greater than yourself, and you will pour your life into this. It will be a beautiful thing. But there is no promise here that it's always going to go easy. Go and die. And so listen to what he says. And I'm just basically going to read the story through, and then we're going to get to what we're going to deal with this morning, which is ideas for doing that. Because the message is, some of us need to hear the call that it's time for us to be a sent follower of Jesus. We came and saw. We met Christ. We followed Jesus. We've been in church, being discipled, growing as a Christian for a while. But now we need to hear the message that Christ loves our city. He loves our city deeply. He loves our region. He loves Charleston. He loves Haiti. He loves people. And he has sent us to spend our lives and die if we need to for the cause of the glory of God. And so here we are in summer, and it's just a simple message. What would it look like for you to leverage your summer for God's glory and God's mission? What would it look like for you to take a few steps that says, listen, I'm living for someone greater than myself, and I'm going to be part of this beautiful mission of God? So listen what he does with these disciples. He says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Now hear what he says. He appoints 72. And here's what's interesting. We know the names of the 12. We don't know anything about the 72. This is 72 for us, nameless, faceless people who are sent by Jesus. Sometimes in church history, sometimes in study, we get focused on the superstars, the guys who stand on the stage, or the guys who have written things and have great books and great stories in church history, the martyrs. I mean, and what I want you to realize is that most of the church's growth, most of the evangelism that's taken place in the world happened not with the 12, but with the 72. With a church that was planted in a city, those people growing as followers of Jesus and then investing and growing and developing and reaching out and the church growing in a city. And so there's 72. And Jesus says, I want you to go to these towns where I'm about to go. I am headed to this place, these places. As I go towards Jerusalem, I'm going to stop from town to town. I'm sending you before me to go to this place. And he says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He said, as you go, you need to pray because the harvest is plentiful. There are people out there who are ready to hear the gospel, that the Holy Spirit is going before you. The Holy Spirit is already there. The Holy Spirit of God is not waiting for us to show up in Charleston or waiting for you to show up at your neighbor's house to go before you. He is already at work. God is already at work in the world around us. That's the big idea. Hear this. God is already at work in the world around you. We may not have our antennas up to see it, but it is happening. And he says, I want you to go. The harvest is plentiful. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborers. The laborers are few. And he says, will you pray to the Lord of the harvest? Will you lift up that God would send laborers? And then he says, verse 4, carry no money bag, a knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one in the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the labor deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town that they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, that sounds kind of crazy. What's he saying? He's given them a prescription for their mission. This is not a universal prescription. This is for theirs. So there's a lot in here that doesn't necessarily apply to us. Like, I packed more than one pair of shoes. And he tells them not to. I got a wallet with a little bit of money. Okay? We bought our food. We're not going to go to Shining Light and show up with 70 of us and go, we hope somebody shows up today with a grocery cart. We have taken our food. So there are some things about this that were for this group. Later in Luke, Jesus commissions another group and he tells them just the opposite. He tells them, take an extra pair of shoes. He even tells them to take a sword, okay? And so that part of this is for this group. But what is universal is this. He is telling them that their mission is to go take the invisible kingdom of God and make it visible. You show up in these towns. You go to a house. You ask to stay there. Find a person of peace, share the gospel, heal the sick, love the people of that city. You are being sent before me to make the invisible kingdom of God visible. That is always our mission. We are to go as people who love Jesus, who have been called by Jesus, people who have a different king. We have experienced the kingdom of God, and it is our call to go to Charleston and go to our neighbors and in the city, the places we live and the places we work, and to go live as people who make the invisible kingdom of God visible. And what happens is he says, in some places, and I'm going to skip a few verses here because you can read it yourself, but in some places you will go and they will receive you. In some places you will go, they will reject you. But the thing is that you have gone. Because I'm going to go to those cities too. And the reason they reject you is because they reject me. What Jesus ultimately says to them is that they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the kingdom. They don't want a different king. But you have gone. We went to a thing recently where we were group of our elders, we went to a conference, and at the conference, one of the booths, they gave us this thing that I'm trying to find a frame that will fit it. But it's a quote out of the mouth of one of the great preachers of all time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, where he said, if they be damned, in other words, if people are not going to trust in Christ, at least make them jump over our bodies to get there. Wow. I don't have often that kind of passion for people in my neighborhood. And so what does it look like for us to understand we are sent, the call is to go, to make disciples, to bring the invisible kingdom of God that is transforming our lives, and we make it visible in our neighborhoods, in our places. And look real quick at the last few verses here, the return of 72, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And he said to him, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in all this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He says, they came back, and man, they're excited. They saw God do amazing things. And I'm just telling you that when you go, when you share the gospel, when you live on mission, you will have points in the story that are very hard, and you will feel rejected, and you will have points in your story where you will be with somebody, and they will trust in Jesus. And nothing is greater than that, except Jesus says that you can also rejoice in this, that your name, too, is written in heaven. It is the coolest thing to live on mission and to share the gospel and see somebody come to faith in Jesus. If you've never had that experience, you have no idea what it will do to your heart to be involved in the life of a person who eventually trusts in Christ because you just invested in them. And so our challenge this morning is really simple. How do we go about doing that? And we're just going to, next for the next few minutes, share a bunch of ideas, just simple ideas. We got some people coming up to help me with this. And we're just going to share a bunch of simple ideas and four different categories of this. And the first one is, we want to give you some ideas just for forming relationships. What will it look like for you to build relationships with people in your neighborhood and a block around you? And if while I kind of get into this, I need Todd and Heidi to come up here because your ideas are going to be part of this. So let me just give you a couple, and then they're going to share a couple of ideas. First of all, let me encourage you to make your house the place to be for your kids. I mean, this is just a simple one. If you have children that are over 8 or 9 years old and under graduated from high school, they're going to hang out somewhere in the summer. And here's an encouragement. Make your house the place to be. When I was a teenager, my mom and dad literally looked at me and said, as you're hanging out, we want our house to be the place everybody hangs out. And so we would go, literally, I was always inviting friends to my house. We were playing fuzzball and wiffle ball in my backyard. We'd just go hang out there. We were always just going, let's go to the Hubbard's house. And it was always going there. And the beauty of it is that my dad is like this natural conversation starter, and he's a gifted evangelist. My dad was always turning the conversation from hanging out to, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. It was really an amazing thing. And so if you have kids, just an idea is make your house the place to be. Tell your children, hey, bring your friends to our house a lot. We'll get it cleaned up, whatever. We won't freak out if it's not. Bring your kids here a lot. Develop a relationship with those kids and their families. That's just one idea. Here's another one. Take walks with a purpose. Like, we found that just getting up and going for a walk in the neighborhood is a great chance as we're walking through the neighborhood to pray for people, but also to stop and meet people who are out in their front yard who we haven't really gotten to know. Take walks. How about this? Move your life from the backyard to the front yard. What happened in our architecture is we moved from porches to decks. It's actually a significant architectural thing because before 1960, everybody wanted to do life on their porch, right? Because you wanted to know your neighbor. But what we want to do is we want to pull in our garage, let the garage door drop behind us, and do life on our deck so that we don't have to deal with anybody. But what would it look like just for a few times for you intentionally to move from the backyard to the front yard so that when other people are out in the neighborhood, you get to know them? I mean, it's just three simple ideas. Heidi and Todd, you have some ideas that are kind of along these lines. Why don't you tell us something that you've done that has been just a way to build relationships?
Okay, mine's going to contradict with what he just said, but that's okay. I want to encourage you to just use your gifts. So think about, you know, what God has given you as far as passions and talents. And mine is flower gardening and like landscaping. So I have kind of redone our backyard and made a patio and a fire pit and an area for a little pop-up pool. And it is kid heaven. So we've got every kind of kid toy imaginable. So anytime when you come over to our house, our backyard is in full use all the time. So basically what, you know, but that's my passion. That's what I like to do. So I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm out there and I go, God, should I really be investing this much time here? And I really feel like he says, it's okay, use it for my glory. And so that's what we attempt to do. One of the things that we have planned, and we do this kind of often, we have our community group meet at our house every week. And so because the backyard is so kid-friendly, many times our community group meets in our backyard. And so we decided as a community group this year, we're going to do our backyard thing, which we always do, except this time we're going to intentionally invite people that we know, hopefully from our neighborhood, to come and join us. And hey, did you know there's a group of people that, you know, live in our neighborhood that meet every Tuesday night, or now for the summer, it's every Monday night. And would you like to come join us? So a really cool opportunity happened just yesterday. Alex loves to bake. So again, using her talent, I said, would you have time to bake some brownies? Sure, Mom. So of course, she's getting ready for the mission trip and in the kitchen with no air conditioning in the house where it's 87 degrees. She bakes brownies and makes the house even hotter, but that's okay. Because we have neighbors that just moved in the house across the street just yesterday. And I said, I'm going to invite them to the ice cream social that we're having at our house. And so she baked some brownies, took it over to the neighbor. They said, we will be there. So how cool that on June 22nd, on a Sunday evening, we're going to have a backyard full of kids, full of neighbors, and we're just going to talk with them about our community group and how we meet here weekly. And by the way, let's tell you about our church and our life and Jesus. So that's one of the things.
Yeah, my example kind of goes along with that. I've been reading a book called Everyday Church. It's really awesome timing, the Holy Spirit. I'm glad it's not mine. But it just talks about and gives examples in the book specifically on the ways that we can live our lives on a daily basis to have opportunities to share the gospel. And it's not demanding us to, hey, stranger, do you know about Jesus? It's building the relationship and putting ourselves in those spots. Like he mentions, walking your dog along the neighborhood or in your complex, wherever you live, and then going to those neighbors that you know have dogs and saying, hey, you want to walk dogs together? And it's just an everyday conversation that then you bring up Jesus because he's so much of your life. So my wife and I, Sarah, plan on being at the pool in the Legends Apartments all during the summer to then engage in those relationships that just we tell people about Jesus. So I challenge Mike and the church and the eldership challenge you to do the same practically in your life.
Here, how a lot of this stuff is the stuff that you would, I mean, think of the stuff that you would normally do, but just do it with your head up instead of your head down. You hear that? I mean, I think that sometimes is our issue, is that we just kind of put our head down and we go about our life instead of having our head up and living as sent people, loving people around us. There's a book called Just Walk Across the Room where a guy who had little kids started a kickball tournament or kickball game every Sunday night in his neighborhood, like a park near his neighborhood. And after about 5 or 6 months, the kickball game was 100 people. And he just started inviting people to church out of that. I mean, simple things. How about praying for our neighborhood and our neighbors? What are some things you could do? Well, there's a lot. Prayer walking is one, just taking a walk in your neighborhood, and as you go by houses, praying for people who live in those houses. How about this idea? How about if you got a jar, and you put the jar on your table, and what you did is you started going around, and neighbors you don't know, you intentionally go meet them and remember their name and information, then you write that information on a note card and drop it in the jar, okay? And then every night, as you're building the number of names and note cards in that jar, every night as your family, like if you have a meal together and you're having your mealtime prayer, which hopefully you do with your family as part of discipling your kids and just being a family that honors Jesus, as you have your mealtime prayer, pull one card out and pray for one family that's in your neighborhood and then just drop it back in. That's a really simple idea. Cindy Ely is going to share. Is Cindy here? Here she is. Cindy Ely is going to come talk to us also about other ideas as it relates to praying in the summer, leveraging our summer for the glory of God. What does it look like to pray? But like I said, prayer walking, doing something like that, creating a prayer journal with the names and addresses of people in your neighborhood, just trying to develop ways to remember their names. That's big for me. It's amazing how much if we just get their names and kind of pray for them, it helps me remember their names because I don't do very well with that. All right, Cindy, what do you got for us?
Okay. And what Mike just said as far as remembering names, we have a couple across the street that just had a baby. They moved in a couple months ago. And as soon as I met them, I walked in the house, wrote their names down, and it sits on my kitchen table till I get that in my head. So that's just an idea. We just completed the prayer journal for May. If you read all of those, they were absolutely a blessing. But if you didn't, continue to read those. And there's scripture in there. But I wanted to bring up this morning and just something that we jotted down for you. Dean, who is down at Charleston, didn't get it to me in time, but he gave me a scripture and also prayer for Charleston. So it is out on the table if you want to pick it up. But just even things like this, that just lay it on your table and it reminds you to pray for others. But he does say on here, thank you, Genesis Church, for helping at Shining Light in Charleston. I love you guys and look forward to seeing you. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. Also, there's cards out there on the table. So when you come into Genesis, look on the tables for little things that are new. You can pick up a card, pray for these missionaries in North America, and send them cards, encouragement. And those are out there also. But for you at home, I love sticky notes. And I put sticky notes everywhere, and it reminds me of things. And one of them is, there's also another family that puts things on their bathroom mirror. And when they go in to get ready for the morning, it is right there. So just do things that remind you to pray, read your Bible daily, but also when you leave that house, like Mike said, look around you for the opportunity, because God's laying them right in front of us. We just need to take them.
Cool. Awesome. All right, so another area is maybe serving your neighbors or people around you, people in your neighborhood or whether it's people you work with or whatever. What would it look like for you to do just simple things where you can just do an act of service just that just shows you care for them? Now, here's the people I need to come up. I need Sam, Leon, Eric, Sarah, Andy, and Gabby to come on up here as I share a couple ideas as they head this way. But what about this? What about, now don't put the five-year-old girl out of business if you do this, okay? Like, don't set this up right across the street from her lemonade stand. But what if you set up a lemonade stand in your neighborhood and just like as people are coming in and out of your neighborhood, you were there with your kids, and instead of taking money, you were just serving them and just giving them lemonade or bottled water or something about that. How about pay attention to the for sale signs in your neighborhood. And if a for sale sign comes down or it says sold, then look for the moving van. And when the moving van shows up, you'd be one of the first families to show up and show up with brownies or with cookies or with a gift card to a restaurant that's like your favorite one here in Eureka, that sort of thing. And just show up and greet people. It's interesting. Like Charleston, the funny thing about Charleston is if you're going on a mission trip and doing stuff like this with us, it is so easy to turn just a little bit about, oh yeah, we were just in Charleston 2 weeks ago. We were down there. Why were you in Charleston? Ding, ding. You see how easy that is? Well, my church, we go down there and you start sharing. It's just an easy segue to talk a little bit about church. Or how about this? This is one that's kind of come our way, and you might seek this out. Groups like the American Heart Association or the Cancer Association, the Red Cross, they will do fundraisers where they want you to go to your neighbor's house to knock on their door and ask them if they will give to the Red Cross and American Heart Association. And so you can contact one of these organizations. They will actually send you this whole packet of stuff. And it becomes a great way for you to have the right just to go knock on doors and go, hey, I'm your neighbor, and we're here for the American Heart Association. But you'll have their name in front of you. They'll send you a packet with all that. Just a really easy way to do an act of service that gets you involved in the neighborhood, all right? Now, as we're doing this, I want to make a really cool announcement and greet somebody. So Andy and Gabby, come on up here. If you've been around Genesis, you know both of these young people. Obviously, this is my son. He's better looking than I am. But he's not as tough as I am, just so he knows that. Mm-hmm. And then Gabby here, they're both part of Genesis, and we're introducing them to you. They're going to share a little bit this morning, but we're also introducing them to you because they both are coming on staff for the summer. Andy, both of them are receiving some money from the North American Mission Board to be a summer missions intern with us. And so we're going to be challenging them to grow in their faith, to explore their call, things like that. Andy is working specifically with Weston and Vibrant Church, spending most of the summer down in the Central West End. We are planting a church down there, and Andy's going to be working with Weston, just getting to know people and getting to know businesses and plowing dirt in that area where we are planning to plant a church. He's also helping out with the youth this summer, and Gabby is going to be on staff with us to run our Genesis Kids Clubs and to make sure our kids clubs run well and to organize all those sorts of things later in the summer, and both of them are going to help us and be kind of our workers, kind of lead people this week as we're in Charleston. All right, so will you welcome them on staff? Good to have you guys with us, and go ahead and share your ideas with us, okay?
Go first. All right, so the two areas that I'm working in is obviously with the youth and in the Central West End, and I have a couple ideas for both. For the youth, it's relatively simple. It's we need the youth to come to events and fun things and have a blast and bring all your friends. One of the deals is we're doing youth camp, and if we can get 15 or more kids to come to camp, you guys can dye my hair whatever color you want. I'll go with that. It'll happen. So that's the first thing. As far as parents of youth or people who feel like you're comfortable with teenagers, there's not many of you, I understand. But we need drivers, we need volunteers to go to events, go to camp, go to our events, or to even host youth groups that are going to be in homes throughout the summer, usually on Wednesday night, but with some flexibility for schedule. So for anybody who is interested in doing that, just contact me or Weston. But as far as the other one, the Central West End, one of the beautiful things that when I was a younger man, I thought was beautiful about Genesis was that if you lived in the city limits of Eureka, somebody prayed for your house. Somebody walked past your house and prayed for you and your family and that we could minister to you. I would love to be able to do that in the Central West End as I'm working there this summer, but I cannot do it alone. And so I would love people to volunteer, take 3-4 hours out of your afternoon or evening, come prayer walk with me, talk to a few people, and then go out to dinner, because the Central West End has some great restaurants. And so just anybody who would be willing to just simply walk and talk and pray, it's that easy. And so just looking for people to kind of do that with me this summer.
My idea was more along the lines of like developing relationships, but I'm just the type of person who likes deep relationships with people and getting to know them. So simple ideas. When I was at college, I would help this like 80-year-old lady garden, and that's just a great way to talk to people, get to know them. Another thing is just to work at different like organizations around your community. There was this thing called a simple room where you just go there and hang out with younger kids and like minister to them and get to know them. I don't know, in our, a little past our town, there's a sanctuary, like animal sanctuary, and you just go there and walk dogs and stuff like that. So just simple things like that, get involved in those.
Alrighty, Heidi kind of touched base on this, but if any of you know me, I absolutely love to cook. It's my absolute favorite thing to do, and I just really feel like God's blessed me with a great talent in it. And actually, I have several people that I cook for on a weekly basis, and God just laid it on my heart that instead of getting things in return for it, that I can use my talent to serve people. And there's actually this gentleman that lives on our street, and he comes from just a rough life, and he's been on my heart for a while for me to just take time out of my day as I'm cooking for other people to just present him with meals. And I just think that's such a cool opportunity to be able to serve our neighbors. I think so often, you know, when we have friends that are in need or, you know, have health situations, we're always willing to jump up and provide a meal for them. But how cool would it be to just walk up to a neighbor's house? You know, sometimes it could be a lonely elderly person, you know, and just be able to go there and provide them with something that's going to comfort their stomach, but also you could be there to comfort their soul. So that's something huge that God's laid on my heart for this summer. And actually, yesterday, when I was doing my prayer time for Haiti, this thought ran across my head, and it just, like, set my heart on fire. I just felt like Christ was like, you know, you get to go to Haiti on my behalf. And that's such a huge just privilege to be able to do that. And if you think about it on your day-to-day lifestyle, you know, you get to be here on my behalf, on mission for Christ. And so often I think we always want to go into people's lives and be able to change their life or to change their situation. But I think we need to remember that the only thing that we have to bring to these people in most situations is the hope and love of Christ.
My nature is serving. I'm a country boy, and Heidi knows this. If a neighbor needs help, the neighbors next door show up. They help you. And so that's just my nature, and that's the way I grew up. In our neighborhood, when we moved there, we had have some neighbors. They have three boys just like we do. They didn't attend church. Their membership was at their home church. It was in the lower part of the state. They'd been living in the house 10, 15 years, but hadn't gone to church anywhere regularly anyway. And their son, I guess, was attending. Their youngest son was attending with our youngest son, Mike's youth group, occasionally, but not all the time. One Saturday afternoon, I was going outside our garage, and I heard him next door. He'd put up a new outbuilding. He was putting the roof on himself, roofing. So I just gathered a hammer, some tools, and I ran over and hopped on the roof and just started helping him put the roof down. Now, I wasn't intentionally doing this from a Christian perspective. I was just being the neighbor that, you know, that just was my nature. But you see, he looked at me, and I was the face of the church at Baldwin. And he told our pastor later that they started coming to our church, and the reason they started coming primarily was because I showed up, just started helping them. So, see, you can build relationships and not have to, you know, be in somebody's face, just be there with them, help them. So if you see a neighbor out in the yard working, whatever, grab some tools, go help them. You'd be surprised what those relationships can build.
Just real quick, I want to share two things. One thing is really just to know your context. Like, if we hang out in our front yard, nobody's going to see us. Our front yard is on Highway W. We're in Haney Springs. So just know your neighborhood. So we go for walks. That's what we do. Second thing is, I'm totally stealing this from Michael and Vicky Shattuck. In their neighborhood, they set up a Facebook presence for their neighborhood. And so anytime they're going to go hang out at the zoo, you know, they can shoot a message over to that Facebook presence, say, hey, we're going to go, you know, do this. Anybody want to come with us? You know, or hey, we're going to do an ice cream social. You know, come on down to 3463 Highway W, whatever. That will lead right into serving, though. So if anyone's going out of town, they need someone to mow their lawn while they're gone. That's pretty big in my neighborhood. A lot of John Deere's. Mow the lawn, you know, take care of the dog while you're gone, stuff like that. They can just shoot a message out to that Facebook page. So,
very cool. Very cool. See, I mean, just simple stuff where you are serving, you're finding ways to invest in people's lives. Now, the last thing we're sharing, as I share this, the worship team can come on up, up here and get ready for a final song or two. But the last thing I will share is that eventually we do need to get around to finding ways to actually sharing the gospel on some level. But I think the easiest path to that for most of us is to share the gospel by investing in people's lives and just inviting them to church. You know that if you come to Genesis every Sunday morning, people are going to hear about the life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can change their lives. They are going to hear the gospel. And if you just invest in people's lives, like Leanne said, jump on a roof, do a little work, and then say, hey, why don't you go to church with me on Sunday? Wait for them in the parking lot so they will show up and see you. Just invest in their lives, invite them to church. Another challenge I'll give you is to share your story. Learn how to share your faith story. What does it look like for you to tell people about how you met Christ? You know, go plan to have a cup of coffee with somebody and just have that kind of conversation. Point being that we can do that. Now, these are ways to share the gospel. What I would like our last person to share this morning is Terry, and she has a couple ideas very specifically about what it looks like to share the gospel with people that she knows.
I love to go out to eat. Bob just do. You can tell by both of us that we love to go out to eat. And so as our season of life is different, our kids are gone, and we can do that a lot. And so we started praying about developing relationships with people outside of our comfort zone. In other words, it's easy for me to call my friends to go out to dinner with them on Friday, but we very specifically don't call our friends. We try to call different couples that we've made contact with to see if they might want to go out to dinner with us. So, for example, some years ago, Stephen was dating a girl in high school, and we got to be really good friends. We're developing a relationship with her parents. Well, Stephen broke up with her, but we didn't break up with the parents. So, and we've kept a relationship with them all these years. They are not Christians at all, but we have great conversations with them because we go out with them every couple months, and we've invested a lot of time in them with them, and so they allow us to tell them what Jesus means to us and why he's in part of our lives. And they get very interested, and they ask about our mission trips, and we're just trying to develop that relationship over a course of time. And if you look in your life and you say, I don't know anybody like that, if you ask God to put somebody in your life, a couple or a single person or someone, I guarantee you by next week you'll have somebody. Like Mike said, keep your eyes up, not down, and someone will come across your path that you'd say, oh, we should see if they want to go wherever it is you're going that weekend. You know, they want to go to Gypsy Caravan with me, or if they want to go to wherever and start developing, you can do that with your neighbors. Another thing that, again, in my season of life, I've had an opportunity to start probably once a week or so, I go out to dinner with a single person, girl, or a mom maybe that needs some encouragement that's able to leave her kids home that night. And I can take her out to dinner and see if I can encourage her in some way. Again, it's not something I ever planned. It's something that if you keep your eyes open, God will give you those type of opportunities. So use the things that you are gifted in. Eating out is one of my giftedness. So, use that. I think then Mike wanted me to go ahead and talk a little bit about the great opportunity that Genesis is going to give you this summer to get involved in kids clubs. When Benjamin was 5 years old, he came in the house one day crying and said, I don't think those kids even believe in God. He was talking about the kids in the neighborhood. And that, it's just like this bolt of lightning. Well, have we ever told them? No, we haven't ever told them. You know, we just assume they're going to kind of morph out of us. No, we got to use words. It is great. We talked a lot about serving, but we have to use words. And so we started a kids club in our neighborhood that year, and we did it for a number of years. Wound up being about 50 kids, and Baldwin helped us a lot with those kids clubs. Well, now here Genesis has this awesome thing that we do every summer where it's already in place. We have people like Gabby that are going to help us get it all organized and together, but we need you to come and help with us. And here's the kicker. Kids clubs are not just for the women. We need the men there. If you want to see a miraculous thing, Weston and Tom Ely know how to do motions to songs. You need to come to a kids club. I mean, if they can do it, anybody can do it. So if you can pour lemonade, you can be involved in a kids club. If you can hold a kid on your lap, if you can show a kid how to throw a football, you can be involved in a kids club. You don't have to be the one that teaches the Bible story and the object lessons. So what we're saying is, this is your chance. We have crafted this thing for you. It's already in place. There's these weeks where it's happening, and all you have to do is say, hey, I'm on board. How can I help? It is only going to be 8 hours of your time, Monday through Thursday, a couple hours every night, but it will be eternal benefits, because at the kids' club, you maybe can stand in the back and talk to the parents that drop kids off. The best story of all is the fact that we met the Pacinos at a kids' club at Missy Rolfe's house. They came and dropped their kids off the first night. The next night, they came and picked them up about 10 minutes early. The next night, they came and picked them up about 20 minutes early. And then I got on the phone and said, Mike Hubbard, you need to get over here. These people are hanging out. You need to meet them. And so Mike came the next night, because they were there the entire time. So what we're saying is that it can have eternal benefits for something that you're just seeing maybe as a little kid's activity.
All right, cool. Well, that's a lot of stuff, okay? So here's the big idea. I'm going to go off the stage and we're going to sing, okay? God is already at work. True or false? God has sent us to live our lives for something greater than ourselves. True or false? He is calling us to make the invisible kingdom of God visible in our neighborhood. True or false? Those are all principles. The big word of the day is intentionality. That if we know that, the way we get from point A to point B is just to say, take out our calendar and go, when and how am I going to do this? We've given you a ton of ideas. We hope that the wheels are spinning. I will post as much of this week on the blog as I can, so you can go back and look over it again, okay, and do that. But my challenge for you is today at lunch, or on if you're going to Charleston, in the car to Charleston, you begin to have a conversation with your family and go, okay, we're picking at least three of those ideas. What are they? And choose maybe an idea in the prayer area, an idea in the building relationships, an idea in the serving, and start figuring out what it looks like for you to intentionally move in the direction of doing that, doing something this summer for God's purpose and glory and for his mission in your community, to live on mission, to leverage your summer for the glory of God and the mission of God, all right? Let's pray and we'll sing. Lord, we love you and thank you. Honor you and just bless you for what we've heard this morning, and just ask that you will help us to maybe think one or two things, to invest in people's lives, invite them to church, share Jesus with them, and to make your invisible kingdom that is changing our lives visible in the world around us. Thank you for changing us, Lord. Thank you for the gospel, and thank you for your work in our life. In your name I pray, amen.